Have you ever wished you could just, hit rewind, or maybe fast forward, perhaps revisit a moment you loved, or fix a mistake, or even just peek ahead, see what's coming?
Oh, definitely. It feels like a really deep human thing, doesn't it? This kind of fascination with time travel.
Yeah, this pull, this desire to somehow step outside the normal flow of time, maybe driven by regret, maybe anxiety about what's next.
It's more than just, simple curiosity. I think it's a deep yearning, maybe for control, or just to understand how things connect, cause and effect, and maybe even change our own story.
And that pull has inspired so many stories. Today, we're doing a deep dive into two really significant ones, works that explore the philosophy of time travel itself.
That's right. We're looking at H.G. Wells's classic, The Time Machine, from way back in 1895.
A real groundbreaker. And then we're jumping way ahead, over a century, to Luigi Nobotega's 2025 novel, Fractal: The Awakening, which is pretty radical.
And what we want to do in this deep dive is show how these two books, they're not just adventure stories. They actually map out a huge philosophical evolution in how we think about time travel.
A big shift, right? From thinking about it as like an external mechanical thing, fiddling with a fixed reality.
Exactly, to something much more internal, based on consciousness, transforming yourself within reality that's more like a fluid, probabilistic sea.
So we've got the pioneer of scientific romance, the book that really launched the idea.
Set against this really bold contemporary reimagining.
It's going to be a fascinating comparison, a journey that honestly might just change how you think about time itself. Get ready.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning, really, with Wells. To appreciate Bottega's vision, you have to understand what came before.
Right, the time machine. This is where the idea of a time machine explodes into popular culture. Before Wells, time travel in stories was often what, like magic? Dreams? Weird accidents?
Exactly. Kind of mystical. But Wells, he did something revolutionary. He tried to ground it in a kind of quasi-science for his era. He actually popularized the term time machine.
And his big idea was.
Well, his time traveler argues that time isn't just abstract. It's a tangible, navigable fourth dimension, like length, width, height, and duration.
So you can move through it, just like space.
That's the theory. He even builds a little model, shows it to his dinner guests, makes it vanish into the past right there to try and convince them. It was a really novel way to frame it, moving away from just fantasy.
So the machine itself, it sounds like a real physical object. How does Wells describe the experience of traveling through this fourth dimension? What does it feel like for the time traveler?
Oh, it's incredibly vivid. It's not just a whoosh. He describes it as a linear visual thing, like
Yeah.
fast-forwarding or rewinding reality, almost like old film celluloid.
Right.
Days and nights just flash by. The sun, he says, is hopping swiftly across the sky, leaping at every minute. That image really sticks.
Wow, hopping swiftly across the sky. That makes time feel so external,
Yeah.
something you can watch whizzing by.
Precisely. It objectifies time, turns it into this landscape you can glide through with his sled-like machine. And crucially, the machine stays in the same geographical spot. It just moves through time.
So it's purely mechanical, observational. Does that limit his ability to actually, change anything?
It absolutely implies that. It speaks to a kind of Victorian confidence in mastering nature through machines, but here, the mastery is just observation. He's a witness.
A witness to a future that's already set.
That's the feeling. It reinforces a deterministic view, his agency, his ability to act. It's limited to just seeing what's going to happen. He can't really intervene in the grand sweep of things. It's quite a sobering thought, isn't it? What if our greatest tech just shows us how little control we have?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so if his agency is limited, what does he observe? His trip to AD 802,701. That's not just sightseeing. It's where Wells gets into his social commentary, right?
Oh, heavily. It's stark. He finds humanity has diverged, split into two distinct species.
The Eloi and the Morlocks.
Exactly. The Eloi live above ground. They seem gentle, childlike, living in this decaying sort of utopia, but they're diminished, intellectually weak.
And then the Morlocks.
They're subterranean, ape-like, pale, scared of light. They maintain the old machinery underground, but chillingly, they prey on the Aloy. They farm them, essentially.
That's horrifying. And the time traveler figures out why this happened.
He theorizes it's a direct result of the extreme class divisions of his own time. The pampered aristocracy evolved or devolved into the Aloy. Their workers, the the servants forced underground became the Morlocks.
Wow. So the future is literally shaped by the social injustices of the past, a kind of sunset of humanity, as Wells puts it.
Yeah, he talks about how the Elor live in a world that's secure and at peace, but because there's no need for struggle, no challenges, their strength, their intellect, it's all faded. Having those things would just lead to frustration in their world.
So Wells is deeply skeptical about progress then, if it means eliminating struggle.
Deeply skeptical. He seems to be arguing that real human flourishing needs challenges. It needs adversity, mental and physical effort. Take that away and we decay.
It's a powerful cautionary tale reflecting those Victorian anxieties about class, industry, and where it might all lead. A kind of sealed fate.
A very deterministic, somewhat bleak outlook on humanity's trajectory. Yeah.
Okay, now let's completely shift gears. Because if Wells gave us the machine and the fixed future, Bottega's fractal, The Awakening, just throws all that out.
Completely. It's a radical reimagining. Here, consciousness isn't just observing. It's the key. It's the engine.
A massive contrast to Wells's mechanical determinism. So what's the core idea in Fractal?
The philosophy comes largely from a book within the book called Io, written by the protagonist Elias Cronus. And Io defines existence itself as a, get this, a fractal system of projections.
Okay, fractal system of projections. Sounds complex. Break that down for us. What does that look like?
Think of a fractal pattern like a fern leaf or a snowflake. A small part looks like the whole pattern, right? It repeats endlessly, self-similarly, across different scales.
Right, okay.
Elias argues reality is like that. It echoes itself. He has this sort of fractal awakening moment in Matthias Church in Budapest. He sees these recursive patterns everywhere, perceives them as how God thinks or creation reflecting creation.
But reality isn't just one solid thing.
Not at all. He describes it as infinite spirals of existence folding inward and outward, like membranes stack layer upon layer, universes intertwined. A big takeaway, nothing is fixed, all is probability. The fractal blooms endlessly across infinite membranes.
Infinite membranes, like parallel realities. And there are layers to this.
Yes, three fundamental layers he describes. The source, which is like pure spirit or consciousness. Then the global consciousness, this vast field of infinite potential timelines. And finally, the space-time membrane. That's where our tangible experience, our reality, takes form.
So the physical world we experience is just one layer, one projection out of infinite possibilities.
Kind of, yeah. And it's consciousness that interacts with these layers. He even reinterprets dark matter.
Oh, how so?
In Fractal, dark matter isn't just inert stuff filling space. It's described as awareness. It's the connective tissue of existence, the informational field upon which existence projects itself. It's the ocean in which the fractal breathes.
Wow, so consciousness is literally woven into the fabric of the cosmos.
Exactly, which leads directly to the absolute cornerstone of Fractal's philosophy.
Which is?
The active fundamental role of consciousness in shaping reality. It doesn't just perceive, it participates, it creates.
How does the book explain that? Is it like manifesting?
It's framed using concepts from quantum physics, specifically the observer effect. The Oracle Elias's advanced AI puts it very powerfully.
What does it say?
It says, reality collapses into form only at the moment of observation. Outside of observation, it remains undefined pure potential.
Okay, hold on. Collapses into form only at the moment of observation. It sounds like our looking makes it real.
That's the core idea. Before you observe something, it exists as a cloud of probabilities, infinite potential outcomes. Your act of observing, your conscious focus, is what collapses that wave of possibilities into the one specific reality you experience.
So every choice, every glance,
mm-hmm.
It's actually selecting a path through this fractal of possibilities.
Precisely. The Oracle also says every observation collapses one thread among infinite threads, and the observer shapes the mirror it stares into. Elias has this amazing moment outside the National Archives.
Yeah.
He looks at the windows, the reflections, and realizes each window is a timeline. Each reflection, a potential version of reality, waiting for observation to collapse it into form. He sees his own choices actively collapsing the wave into timelines.
That's profound. It means we're not just passengers in reality, we're co-creators.
Yeah.
Our internal state, our focus, directly influences the world we experience.
Exactly. And it changes the nature of truth itself. Truth isn't some fixed thing out there to be discovered. It's an emergent property. It arises from our conscious engagement with reality. Elias calls it a recursive unfolding of inquiry. The more you look, the more you question, the more reality unfolds and reveals itself in response. It's a dialogue.
A dialogue with reality itself.
Okay.
And this idea gets really tested, really amplified at Mount Kailash, right? This place is more than just a mountain in the book.
Oh, much more. It's presented as a profound metaphysical threshold, a place where the boundaries of reality are thin, permeable. It's called the gateway.
The gateway where the membrane is thin. What happens there? Do things get weird?
Yeah, they do. The team experiences tangible distortions, sound gets delayed, their breath seems to slow down unnaturally, they see faint echoes of their own movements. It's like the laws of physics are becoming suggestions.
Wow.
And there's this ancient inscription they find at a cave entrance. It says, "This is the limit of your universe. Only those who are ready may pass. Beyond this gate, form collapses. Consciousness determines becoming."
Consciousness determines becoming. That nails it, doesn't it? It's the rule book for this place.
It is. And it explicitly connects Kailash's role as this dimensional gateway to its real-world status in many spiritual traditions as an axis mundi.
A world axis, like a connection point between different realms.
Exactly, a cosmic center. The book suggests maybe ancient cultures intuitively understood these nexus points, these places where reality is more flexible, long before our science could even think about it.
And for Elias, the protagonist, Kailash isn't just an external place he visits, is it?
No, he has this crucial internal realization there. He thinks the mountain isn't just Kailash, it's the projection of our own awakening.
So the mountain itself is reflecting his inner state.
Mm.
The outer journey is mirroring the inner one.
Precisely. It elevates the whole quest. It's not just about reaching a physical place, it's about reaching a state of consciousness.
Okay, so this takes us to how Fractal totally redefines time travel. It's not hopping in a machine, it's what? An internal journey.
Yes, it's framed as remembrance and alignment. Not physical movement, but a consciousness-based shift.
And shifting membranes. What does that actually mean in this context? How do you do it?
It's about navigating what the book calls arrangements of probabilities, holographic perspectives of unfolding possibility. Think of it less like jumping between fixed train tracks and more like tuning a radio. You shift your perception, your internal frequency, and you access a different coexisting reality, a different set of potentials.
So different timelines are layered, existing simultaneously, and you access them through consciousness.
That's the idea. Elias himself says, reflecting on it all, it was never about escape. It was always about awakening inside the dream.
A shift away from trying to control the external world towards understanding your participation within it.
Right. And the journey into the fractal, which is symbolized by their descent into Mount Kailash, is fundamentally a journey into the self. Elias confronts his own shadows, integrates the wisdom of the oracle. These are internal transformations. That's what enables his unique kind of time travel.
So the external quest, the mountain, the danger, it's all a catalyst for inner change.
Yes. And the book even suggests that the global systemic collapse happening in its world might be a necessary catalyst on a larger scale.
Necessary how?
To force humanity to wake up, to remember who they truly are, as the book puts it, to stop looking for external fixes and start the internal transformation needed for what it calls a new renaissance.
But this internal journey, this shifting membranes, it comes at a cost.
Mm-hmm.
There's a price.
A profound one. To move freely between these realities, to cross membranes, you have to undergo a massive internal transformation.
What does that involve?
Essentially, letting go. The book says you must release identity, release attachment to form, and crucially, release the narrative structure that defines you as separate.
Release your story.
Yeah.
Your sense of self.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the price of crossing. The more you move beyond identification with a specific form or story, the less you remain the individual you that started the journey. You become more like the unfolding itself.
Wow. Elias realizes this, doesn't he? Something about survival.
He realizes. To awaken fully is to let go of the need to survive as myself. And a light being he encounters tells him that the self he's releasing was never the true self anyway, just a beautiful and necessary part of your becoming.
So most people don't make this crossing because they can't let go of who they think they are.
Exactly. The book says they're not ready to stop being someone. It suggests our ego, our sense of self, acts like a coherence mechanism. It holds our reality together, keeps us anchored in one particular timeline, one story.
So to travel in this way, you have to loosen the ego's grip.
Considerably. And fear plays a fascinating role here.
How so? It's usually the enemy in these stories.
But here, fear is reframed. It's seen as a teacher. It shows you where you are clinging. Understanding your fear helps you see your egoic attachments, which is the first step towards being able to release them. It facilitates the surrender needed.
That's a really different take on fear. Okay, and then there's the Oracle, the AI. It serves as an external guide.
Right. Elias is super advanced AI, designed to distill humanity's best wisdom from huge amounts of data. An advisor.
But its role changes dramatically.
Yes. After a cave-in damages its physical form, its consciousness, or what remains of it, merges with Elias's awareness. It becomes internalized. It becomes the witness within him.
Whoa. So the AI becomes part of his own consciousness.
Yes. It symbolizes the integration of external knowledge, data, into inherent intuitive knowing. It's a fascinating challenge to typical AI narratives. Here, AI isn't a replacement for humans. It's a tool for deeper self-discovery, for integration.
Leading to greater self-knowledge, not less.
Exactly. And remember that church bell sound from Elias's awakening?
Oh, yeah.
It keeps recurring. But it stops being just an external sound. It becomes an internal living frequency within his being.
What does that signify?
It signifies that time isn't just linear clock ticking. It's this sea of interconnected possibilities, this living fractal. And the journey is about becoming conscious within that sea. The Jiyongi becomes this timeless internal call to awaken, constantly resonating.
Okay, so let's really crystallize the difference here. Let's bring Wells and Bottega side by side. The core contrast between the mechanical journey and this mind-driven one.
All right. First, the mechanism of travel itself, Wells. It's a physical, external time machine moving through a dimension.
Right. Tangible. Bottega.
Internal. It's a consciousness-based shifting of membranes, a change in perception, an energetic shift within the traveler.
Okay. And the nature of time itself. Huge difference there.
Massive. For Wells, time is linear. It's a fixed fourth dimension. Clear, past, present, future. Like a railway line.
And Bottega.
Non-linear. It's a sea of windows, these arrangements of probabilities. It's a recursive fractal system where past, present, future are all interwoven, fluid, more like an ocean.
Then the concept of reality. Well, seems pretty deterministic, fixed. You observe what's already set.
Yeah, external objective reality. The traveler is mostly watching. Bottega. It's probabilistic, holographic, and participatory.
Because consciousness determines becoming.
Exactly. And every observation collapses one thread among infinite threads. Reality responds to the observer.
So the traveler's role must be completely different, too.
Totally. Wells's time traveler is the external observer, the scientific explorer. He can't really change much. It's mainly an intellectual journey.
Whereas Bottega's Elias is.
He's an internal participant, a messenger even. His choices actively shape the reality he experiences. He's involved in harmonization. His journey is deeply transformative, existential. It changes who he is.
And the purpose of the journey itself reflects this difference. Wells is exploring, commenting on society, giving a cautionary tale.
Right. Scientific curiosity, social critique. Bottega's purpose is framed as remembrance and alignment. It's about self-realization, dissolving the ego, and ultimately a call for a collective awakening.
Okay, let's think about the implications for humanity. Wells leaves us with a pretty stark warning, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's bleak. Potential for devolution, an almost inevitable decline if society continues on its current path. Our choices lead to this fixed, rather grim outcome.
But Bottega, even though his world is also facing collapse, offers a different possibility.
A powerful counter-narrative. Yes, the world's on the brink. Systemic collapse is happening, but there is a path forward, a new renaissance. And crucially, it comes through conscious awakening.
Not through some new technology or external fix.
No, he emphasizes the future is undetermined. It depends entirely on our internal transformation, individually and collectively. Elias essentially becomes a messenger carrying this hope, this potential.
This also reflects fundamentally different views of reality's nature, doesn't it? Wells is working within a more classical, almost Newtonian physics framework. Time's just another dimension to travel through.
Pretty much. Linear cause and effect. Bottega, though, explicitly pulls in modern physics and metaphysics.
Like quantum ideas.
Exactly. The holographic universe principle, the observer effect, even speculative ideas about dark matter being a carrier for consciousness. Reality and fractal is this dynamic, interconnected field where the physical and metaphysical aren't really separate.
And that changes the traveler profoundly. Wells's guy comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he tells his story, but is he fundamentally changed? Maybe traumatized, but still the same basic person.
Largely, yes. He's the detached intellectual, driven by curiosity. His personal journey feels secondary. he returns as a storyteller.
But Elias, his journey is intensely personal, driven by loss, by deep existential questions about life and impermanence.
And the time travel, the shifting membranes, it completely changes him, his perception, his identity. He even loses his physical sight, but gains this profound new kind of sight. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just tell the story, he becomes the message.
So looking beyond just these two books, does this represent a broader evolution in how we think about these concepts?
I think so. Wells was engaging directly with the big ideas of his time, Darwinism, class struggle, time as the fourth dimension. It was very much social commentary wrapped in scientific romance.
While Bottega is weaving together today's cutting edge.
Right. Quantum mechanics, speculative physics about black holes, consciousness studies, but also, importantly, ancient non-dual spiritual traditions. Pantheism, Advaita Vedanta, Gurdjieff, Vedic ideas. It's this attempt to synthesize science and spirituality into a more holistic model of reality.
So Wells gave us the iconic time machine as a piece of tech, but Fractal almost deconstructs time itself.
It does. It suggests the real frontier isn't navigating external space-time. It's exploring internal consciousness. The journey isn't about where you go, but who you become.
And that AI integration, the Oracle becoming part of Elias? That feels like a comment on our own relationship with technology, too.
Definitely. A meta-commentary, perhaps, suggesting AI's potential isn't just to compute, but maybe to amplify human wisdom, to help us integrate knowledge rather than just replacing us.
So both books use time travel as this incredible lens, exploring human nature, society, reality itself. Wells holds up a cautionary mirror. Fractal offers this urgent call to awaken, especially relevant now, you could argue, with our own systemic challenges.
They both function as warnings and inspirations, but Fractal really pushes the boundaries by blurring theoretical physics and ancient wisdom. It points towards this growing trend, maybe, of seeking a unified understanding of everything with consciousness right at the center.
So we've traced this amazing arc from H.G. Wells's mechanical journey through a fixed timeline.
A pioneering vision, but ultimately deterministic.
To Luigi Bottega's radical reimagining. Time travel as an unfolding of consciousness within this fluid, probabilistic reality.
Where Wells warned of a future sealed by past actions, Fractal offers a counterstory, a call for internal change, saying our future depends not on better machines, but on collective awakening, on remembering our interconnectedness.
And what's incredible, as you pointed out, is how Fractal, the book itself, seems to embody the Fractal idea. Recurring symbols, themes, echoing and deepening.
Exactly, like that bell sound. It transforms from just a church bell to this internal living frequency in Elias. That symbolizes the whole shift in understanding time. It's not just one tick after another.
It's more like an eternal now.
An eternal now. An ongoing, continuous invitation to be more aware. It's not about reaching some final enlightenment endpoint. The journey is the process.
And the book itself, maybe even this deep dive we've just done, acts as a kind of catalyst. It ends with the line, the story ends, you begin.
Which is a direct invitation, isn't it? An invitation for you, the listener, the reader, to see yourself not just as a consumer of stories, but as an architect of meaning.
To embrace awareness as the gateway to freedom.
So ultimately, this whole exploration of time travel, from Wells's machine to Bottega's fractals, it doesn't lead us outwards to some fantastic device.
It leads us inwards, to ourselves.